Okay, good morning. This is Damien from Incendiary Magazine, www.inmusic.nl, and you're listening to what is the Haldon Pop 2009 Fieldcast, as we for some reason want to call it. Although, to be entirely appropriate at the moment, I should probably call it the Haldon Lake Cast, because that's where I'm headed in the morning right now, because it's bloody hot, to be honest. And yes, as you hear me wade through the undergrowth into this hidden little paradise of a lake. This will basically be Haldon Day 2. Tuna fish. No, well, I quite like tuna. In fact, I really like tuna. I could live on tuna sandwiches, I think. But tonfish started off day two with Haldon in the
You're really quite worried about
tent.
Talking about tonfish, aren't you?
I am, because I don't really know where to start.
I can tell you where to start.
The fact that,
they're a child band.
They weren't really a band. Well, yes, they were like a children's entertainment group. Thankfully, they weren't dressed as clowns, otherwise I would have ran away screaming.
They were mighty close to being dressed
as
clowns.
Yeah, but the leader, because I can't call him a singer, the leader walked around to the tent first, looking like he'd just run off the set of Oh, What a Lovely War or something. and a smile that, like, Gene Wilder would be proud of. And he had this megaphone, which made you instantly
I wanted it so much.
Jealous.
Yeah, I did. I mean, the problem was that, you know, megaphones and rock instantly stir up ideas of Mark A. Smith, you know, berating his disciples. But sadly, it was cabaret for four-year-olds, really.
The German Rod, Jane and Freddy.
They had a song about washing up, and they had a song about losing your socks. And
yeah,
they also
and
had a song about shopping.
There was a song that was like, baguette, brigette.
Yeah.
And I thought, right. And then we ran, basically.
We did, we ran away.
For the safety of the press tent,
where
you can have such luxuries as flushing toilets and running water.
Exactly, we done it all.
And beer in a glass.
That's right.
So, yeah, we avoid the tuna fish, people. And then kicking up the Hauptbühne yesterday was Asaf Avidan and the Mojos.
And I can't remember any of that.
No, well, I don't...
I don't remember any of that.
Yeah, I think we just best move on. But Paul O'Brien was very good.
Paul O'Brien,
I liked him a lot. He's, another one of those just kind of happy, jumpy, folky, rocky stuff, but...
It was very Neil Young, and the guy obviously couldn't sing, but he sang in a way that it was obviously couldn't sing, and it fitted in with the music, if you know what
well,
I mean.
Well, he may have, it's very much like Neil Young, he wasn't really off key, he was just in a different key to anybody else sings in.
Yeah. But it somehow fitted, if
yeah,
you know what I mean.
And it was somewhere very much like the band and that very kind of 70s
The band is
classic
a good
rock
reference.
Stuff, but
yeah,
they were, they were entertaining.
They were good.
And we got to sing about weasels and badgers.
Yeah, we did. You know, we have a little...
In fact, you want to give us a little weasel
no,
and badger.
No, I don't reference. Actually. I don't think I can get that high, yes, in terms of my voice. And not that I'm advocating any stimulants at this point, brothers and sisters.
And then we made a quick dash. This is the thing with Haldon. Now that they've started adding more bands in the tent, you spend quite a lot of time running backwards and forwards. but the Temper Trap, Canadian, they are Canadian, aren't they?
Or Australian, I think.
I don't know.
They were very...
There's some Ians, anyway. Like Canadian-American, some can...
They might be Australian.
But yeah, I thought they were very good. They
got the place rocking. They were very much like Boy or October Era U2, in the sense that they had these... a sort of surge from minor to major chord changes, and it was very much a case of there's a couple of drum fills used with very obvious guitar patterns, but it works.
But you were right when they did only have two drum fills.
Yeah, they did.
And they used them again and again. But the guitar was very crisp and clean, which maybe brought too much of a Boney on the Edge stuff into it.
It was very much like a bag of Boney.
But they were entertaining, and the 300 people crammed into the tent got very hot and sweaty, and he screams quite well.
He does. And this is a theme we should actually labour. Well, we should actually bring it up to labour later. Is the fact that whilst we might not agree all or like the bands, we're only two people, and when you've got a whole tent bouncing around enjoying themselves, who are we to argue or indeed to criticise? So they were all right. Meat and two veg.
Then things kind of took a really nice... Well, actually, after tuna fish, things kind of just pleasantly built up for a while.
Yeah.
And then Final Fantasy, who I'll confess that I do like him a lot. I like his stuff. And I've seen him do this solo show now about 3 or 4 times.
Yeah.
And I just thought, oh, I've seen this. I know what it's going to be like. I'm not bothered. And then I just walked past and found myself standing enthralled again for another half an hour.
He was brilliant, wasn't he? He plays on his own on a loop. There's no band with him. He's on the main stage. It's in about 4 or 5 o'clock, 3, 4 o'clock in the afternoon, something like that. There's all these people wandering around trying to have a groovy time, and you've got a fella on stage with a fiddle and a loop, and basically putting his songs through the same loop over and over again. And somehow the sheer sort of iniquity, I suppose, of him being there in that position. It was just so fascinating to watch. And he actually pulled off one of the best gigs I've seen at Halden.
It was bizarre, because he was just this tiny little wreck of a man lost in this huge, huge vacuous stage. And it just, like, I was enthralled by it.
Yeah,
I thought it was really good.
It really was.
And then Wood Pigeon basically looked like a bunch of chemistry lab people who've taken off the white coats and picked up instruments for a bit. Yeah. Who were very good, but very... I don't know, they were nice, but that's all they were, if you know what I mean. They were nice, they played everything very well, but it was all very, I don't know, a bit mathematical, and you know how everything was so precise and clear, there was no kind of, it felt like they were going through the motions somewhat.
Yeah, it's one of these academic bands where you think, you put it all together and it might look good on paper. It's like the old football team thing, it must work, it looks good on paper, but obviously you can only recreate the equation you've made. It doesn't really go anywhere, and you sometimes think, well, come on lads, you know, do something a bit more out of the ordinary, try and be a bit more than the sum of the parts, you know.
Seven of them on stage, and the two girls and all the rest, all happy smiley people, and they looked like they were having a good time, but I thought they reminded me of like chemists and stuff that come out of a lab. It was all a bit too formulaic, and I don't mean that in like it was just start stop by the numbers, but it was just a bit too rehearsed and not kind of any
but
thing. But then Nora and the Whale impressed me.
Yeah, and they were
one
good,
of the first people this weekend to have one of those voices,
yes.
Which seems to be the way of things at the moment. But no, they impressed me more than I thought they would, because
I didn't really like the records, you know.
I'm with you on that. I like some songs, but they kind of wore. Yeah,
they were all thin.
Yesterday they were pleasant enough and entertaining.
And at this point, I disappeared off to interview Gravenhurst, which is a wonderfully bad-tempered interview. Which I'm, not in a bad-tempered way with me per se. I'm glad to say, but you know, the world in general. That's a sort of splendidly harumphing about the state of modern pop music, which you'll be able to either read or hear on Incendiary soon. So I was out of action, as it were, and you went to see... Did you see Anna Turnheim?
I did. I saw Anna Turnheim, and she came on, and she's one of the... Well, if I just say she's the very typical Scandinavian voice of a woman, then you know exactly what I'm talking about. And she came on, and it was like, oh, she's quite cute, and the song's quite nice. And then I realised that she did the same song again and again and again and again and again. Yeah. And whilst everything had built up and was building up quite pleasantly, she basically made me just want to go home and go to bed and ignore everything. I honestly lost the will to live during that, and I want to say it was no fault of her own, but it was.
It was, yeah. No, at this point, so I was in the tent. I just finished with Nick from Gravenhurst, and went to see Edward Sharp and the Magnetic Zeros.
Who had lots of trumpets.
They had a lot of people. I mean, it was, again, it was one of these things where Halden seems to... People at Halden seem to really, really want to be converted to something. I don't know what it is. You get some sort of set of...
Well, after Anna Turnheim, I think everyone just wanted to be alive. And to feel some kind of pulse going through.
Yeah, there's very much, you know, the whole happy clappy, you're going to be saved set to music. There's this sort of strain within music, this sort of yes, you can music, which I suppose in a church would instantly make the hip and groovy people cringe, but you put it in a tent and you say it's a left field band and they've got lots of diverse instrumentation and everyone digs it like you've never seen. There was a lot of clapping, there was a lot of love, there was a lot of applause, blah blah blah. I have to say, personally speaking, I just wonder if that's it for these things. They turn up, they do this incredibly emotional salvatory almost like a gesture rather than being a set of songs with, you know, a certain amount of chords and, you know, glockenspiels, and there's always a bloody beard around the place, even on the women. And you're thinking, this is getting a bit, yeah, well, what are you going to do? Are you going to give us some... Are you going to give us any sand in the Vaseline? Are you going to give us some sort of breath? Are you elastic enough to do something different as a band? And, well, no, they weren't, but then again, you know, here's me, on my own, and thinking, you know, I'm not really keen on that, with my sarcastic Northern English way. And there's 300 people going absolutely berserk in there. Berserk! I'm not joking, I thought they were going to pull the tent to pieces, set it on fire, and then go and wander off to, I don't know, to Jordan or something and try and part the waves of the Red Sea. I'm not really sure, but anyway, that was all right.
And then by this point, it suddenly went
by this point,
dark
completely
and really cold.
Dark and cold.
And Patrick Watson came on the main stage, and those guys, I saw them in the tent.
You loved
them. Was it last year or the year before?
Year before,
and that was
it?
One of the best things I've seen in Howden. When you listen to the record, it's got that kind of ethereal almost. I mean, the first album sounds, to me, it sounds like it was recorded underwater. It's like mermaids singing or something. But, yeah, yesterday, oh man, it was easily the best thing I've seen here.
Yeah.
In, I think since I saw the Divine Comedy with an orchestra about 5 years ago. They just blew me away. They had some problems on stage, as almost everybody does here on the main stage, because it's held together with gaffer tape and a bunch of local farmers.
Yeah.
But, oh, I don't know. You know, when you talk about it, people, some are having like a spiritual moment. I had one at Patrick Watson yesterday. They were astonishing. Yeah. Absolutely astonishing. And there were 5,000 people literally almost in tears in front of them. And everything they did was just mind-blowing. And I mean, the thing I like about them is they're all completely different types of musicians, and they all feel like they're pulling in different directions. I mean, the drummer, he's amazing, but there's no such thing of him. I don't think he would know a 1-2-3-4 beat if it come and slapped him in the face. Like, it's like drum fill followed by a little this, 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 and this, little bit of that, but somehow the beats just kept in through a mixture of everything they do. But, oh, I cannot praise them enough yesterday.
I caught the last 5 minutes
amazing.
And it was
amazing.
At one point, they're all rolling around on the floor, everything. It was just chaos, wasn't it?
He jumped into the... Two of them ran into the crowd and sang a song and through, like, one of those... radio old-fashioned microphone drums. Oh. But it was just... Everything worked. Mm. Everything sounded fantastic. And the atmosphere, just to be part of that crowd, I honestly was welling up. It was wonderful.
Well,
and I was so happy about it, I decided to ignore Colin Monroe altogether.
Which you should be quite glad of, because I thought it was just poppy and... Well, it was poppy. I mean, there's no other way around it. It was poppy, and that's all I really got to say about it. It didn't get me at all. I didn't get it. Sorry, Colin. Mm. Anyway, next.
Now back then, I kind of hung around and watched Lonely Day for the third year in a row here. But it was on the main stage again. And most of the Lonely Day had helped out Patrick Watson on a few songs. And then they returned the favour towards the end of Lonely Day's set. And there's something about Lonely Day. I like his albums. I like it. But just seeing him live. And there's something about seeing him live at Howden. Because the people here love him.
Yeah, they do.
And if there's one thing the Howden lot like, they're like audience participation.
And they do, don't they?
Yeah, I mean, basically, if someone came on and did Queen Classics, this place would go ballistic. Yeah. Anything where they get to go, whoa, whoa, or anything. But the thing about Lonely Day is there's none of this, like, I want you to all go, whoa, whoa. He gives you, like, a four-part, like a 12-bar symphony bit to do with six different vocal parts and, like, three different octave ranges. And the crowd just go for it. Yeah. So there's, like, there's a couple of songs where he's got this, like, on the album, there's, like, really, really nice strings in the background. He just gets the crowd to do that, and then they play over the top. It was, once again, it was just great, great fun. And, the guy, he looks like a bear just who's woke up with a bad head. But
it's as if his natural clothes should be pajamas.
And you've heard something like I Am John, which is a great tune, and you've heard some of the other stuff, and you think, yeah, they're all right, but you check the album out.
Should
and
go see him live. I'm sure.
Just go see him live. A great performer. A great, great performer.
Well, I can't remember Jonathan Jeremiah, because I was a bit tired and emotional at that point.
Yeah, well, I basically didn't go back to the tent because I hung around to watch Athlete. But you went over to watch
I went to see Gravenet.
Athlete came and did the business. They were very good. But if I'm honest, I think a lot of people were emotionally wrecked after Patrick Watson and Lonely Day. And by the time they came on stage, which was like about 1 o'clock, a lot of people were passing out and going home to bed. So the crowd thinned out a bit. But I have to say, I've they were far and away better than I've ever heard them before.
Just moving to some shade, people.
Yeah, it was. They were very good. Yeah, they came out and the new stuff kicked 7 bells out of all the old stuff, which I was surprised about. But I'm looking forward to their new album. They came, they got the crowd doing whoa whoa whoa, and everybody liked it, and it was job well done. But I mean, to be fair, the Patrick Watson was easily the highlight of the night until.
Well, Gravenhurst.
I went and caught the end of Gravenhurst. You saw the whole thing.
Yeah, Gravenhurst. It was a funny thing because everyone, there's a lot of people, obviously high from the Lonely Deer Patrick Watson gig, who came into the tent, and there's the people at the front listening to Nick from Gravenhurst, and the people at the back just going, "Whoa!" Which is, you know, I suppose fair enough. So the first, he was on his own, and he didn't, Gravenhurst being Gravenhurst, he decided, well, I'm going to do it this way and I don't care, and you know, just his usual chatty, his usual sort of mawkish self, I suppose, said the odd little sarcastic rejoinder with the crowd. But with his music, there's something that just, it's almost like some web that just, you can't get off it. Once you start getting into his music, you're stuck. He transfixed it because he had these beautiful chord changes, he has these wonderful changes of chord, he has a fantastic sense of space and a sense of his music is very pristine, it's very crystalline. It's almost like you can see things through a prism. You know, that it breaks up. It's almost like refracted light. It's wonderful. Of course, being in the Spiegel tent sort of helped that sort of metaphor quite a lot. And of course, he did a lot of very folky sort of Skip set, Spence, Nick Drake style sort of reflections. I mean, one or two songs that, you know, obviously are about the subject of suicide, etc. And then. At the end, we went absolutely mental.
Yeah, he's a master of the loop pedal, you know, and just building layers and layers and layers up. I mean, and for a guy who, let's face it, he doesn't have much stage presence.
No. But he looks like a bad-tempered librarian, effectively.
Yes, he looks like someone's brought back something from 20 years ago and hasn't paid the fine. he's just wonderful, isn't he? It's as simple as that. He's wonderful. And
then we
got out of the tent because it was goddamn hot in there. Under the moon and the stars, freezing our bloody.
Oh god! The temperature changes were.
And listen to Alexander Tucker and the Decomposed Orchestra play some of the most ethereal and haunting kind of. I wouldn't say orchestral, but it wasn't. Just kind of really chilled, maudlin, droney.
Whilst we helped ourselves to the band's beer.
Yeah, so we sat there and got drunk and thought about demons and werewolves and whatever other images that Alexander Tucker and his zombie orchestra brought to mind. And then we went home to bed.
We did.
And that was day two.
That was day two, wasn't it?
I suppose we'll be back soon with day three.
Day three, never, really.
Bye.
Bye.